This is Neijing Now, prioritizing well-being. Neijing is the vitality that shields us from disease. Neijing Now, demystifying medicine, cultivating resilience, empowering host resistance, prioritizing primary prevention. I'm Dr. Jayashree Chander. I welcome you to another short clip exploring Neijing Now. Professor John Blakeman, you're a professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point. I'd like to get your perspective on this year's presidential election, on different policies that each of the candidates are proposing, and how you think they're going to impact our well-being and happiness.
Well, I think what we have with this election, unlike a lot of other presidential elections in the past, is a real contrast between the two candidates. President Barack Obama is committed to maintaining a role for the national government in maintaining a minimal social safety net for Americans and providing for a lot of basic functions like disaster relief, of course, unemployment insurance, job retraining, that the private sector and state governments themselves aren't necessarily capable of picking up on their own. Whereas Governor Romney certainly has a vision of a much smaller presence for the federal government in our day-to-day lives, more of a pronounced role for state governments in providing things like disaster relief or the minimal social safety net. And of course, Governor Romney would like to see as many of these functions transferred back to the private sector as possible.
Right. In general, a lot of the focus in this year's election campaign has been on job growth and the economy. And generally, we think of job growth and the economy in terms of our gross domestic product. And, you know, there's a few alternative indices out there for measuring our progress. And some of them are related to sustainable development and factoring in happiness and well-being and social structure, the environment. And I'm wondering if you had any thoughts about how the candidates differ in their approach to growing the economy, and if we were to measure the economy with some of these alternative indices, how they might differ?
Well, I might argue that Governor Romney, for example, would say economic growth should be prioritized over any of these other indices that you've mentioned, whereas President Obama, I think, would be more than willing to try to find a balance between economic growth and our overall happiness, however we're going to measure that. One good distinction between the two candidates, of course, concerns healthcare. If you look at the percentage of uninsured people, especially in southern states like Mississippi and Texas, in Texas, the uninsured rate is approximately 1 out of 4, if not a little higher than that, which means there are a heck of a lot of people without basic health care. And that strikes me as one issue about overall happiness that we need to deal with as a country. And not just Texas, for that matter. I mean, you take any given state, except Massachusetts, ironically, and the percentage of people without basic health care insurance is staggeringly high. Another factor that politicians of both political parties are going to have to address, and this feeds into our overall happiness as well, is income inequality. You know, there's no question that democratic stability hinges upon economic growth. We also know that in a democratic society, when income inequality gets too big, you end up with political instability. And that factors into an overall indicator of happiness, too, frankly. Now, how politicians want to address that, I honestly don't know. It seems like both major political parties have been trying to sweep that issue under the rug, except for the Democrats, who are addressing income inequality through the tax code. And arguably, that's not going to be the best solution. Whereas the Republicans are simply ignoring it altogether.
Well, what you ignore doesn't necessarily go away. Well, I agree with you 100% that healthcare is an important issue, and that when people are unhealthy, they often tend to be unhappy. There's other things besides access to health care that determine how healthy we are, including things like the access to good food, what's in the food that we eat, and what's in the air we breathe, what's in the water we drink, the way we get to and from work, how much time we spend in the car, how much time we spend exercising and leisure time. And if you were to compare the two candidates on all these other factors that influence how healthy we are and how much we actually need to access healthcare, what would you say?
Well, I would say President Barack Obama probably has the best sort of policies to deal with that wide range of things. Certainly, the Obama administration's made it quite clear that it has focused and it will continue to focus on protecting the environment. So as we talk about clean water and clean air, the water we drink, the air that we breathe, and certainly the First Lady's emphasis on wellness and bringing issues of wellness down to the level of the public school system, those are important initiatives that I personally would like to see continued. Governor Romney hasn't really addressed issues of the environment other than arguing that government regulation over the environment tends to stifle economic development and growth. And I always think there's an interesting irony here because it was a Republican administration, you know, President Richard Nixon 40 years ago, who put into place the Clean Air Act, the Clean Water Act, and the Environmental Protection Agency. You know, the major federal efforts to improve the water that we drink and the quality of the air that we breathe. You can't really argue that those statutes and those regulatory policies had no positive impact because that they did. And I think the Obama administration clearly sees that. Romney does not.
You're right. So Romney doesn't see kind of the relationship between our environment and our health and well-being, and he's ready to cut all of those budgets.
Yes, although in his defense, I think ideologically Governor Romney would argue that these things, clean air, clean water, environmental regulations, protecting the environment broadly speaking, and the links between environmental health and our own personal health, those can be met by the private sector. So, you know, that's his ideological approach. Whereas the Obama administration would say, well, the federal government's been meeting those needs for 4 decades now, and it works. Why change it?
Yeah, it works. And in fact, I think that they need to be tightened, those regulations. They need to be even stricter. We still have a lot of toxins in our environment that are unregulated. And honestly, I don't think the private sector will voluntarily regulate itself.
No, they won't. Don't get me wrong. They won't. There's no question about that. I mean, the private sector works on a profit motive. And if and when it becomes profitable to protect the environment, then businesses and corporations will do it. But we honestly shouldn't expect them to do it until it becomes profitable. And who knows when that's going to happen. It's not going to happen for a long time. So,
all right. So you mentioned the topic of income inequality and how that leads to political instability and shall we even extrapolate to class warfare or?
Sure, absolutely. But, you know, mainstream economists will argue, you know, even an economist by and large are free market economists, but they will argue that the U.S. is now at a tipping point with income inequality. And we're not talking about class warfare where people take to the streets and destroy property and seize assets on a wide scale. The kind of class warfare I think we're talking about that comes out of inequality is a creeping cynicism that causes people to lose faith in their political system. And over time, that delegitimizes the political system. And so what we end up with, perhaps, is an oligarchical system where those with the most extreme wealth control most of the political power, and the rest of the people simply are too cynical or have given up caring, and the whole system is no longer legitimate.
Well, we're seeing some of that already, I think, with the Occupy movement, wouldn't you say?
Yes. The Occupy movement has posed a real contrast to all the corporate dollars flowing into this election cycle in an interesting way. You know, a lot of people argue that all of this has been brought on by the Supreme Court and its Citizens United case on financing of political campaigns. But in reality, it's something that corporations and business people have been doing for a long, long time, donating money to political campaigns. I think we obviously have seen the high watermark in American politics for money flowing into political campaigns. And the fact that Democrats and Republicans are doing it sort of shows me that the solution isn't going to be easy. But I'm starting to have a little faith in the system, too. All of this money flowing into the system from perhaps the Koch brothers or other big donors may not ultimately have that much of an impact. I think we'll need several election cycles to figure that one out.
Yeah. Do you think if Romney were to become president, that this Occupy movement might grow into more of an issue and people might be taking to the streets? I mean, because Romney's platform essentially will grow income inequality.
Yeah. You know, I wouldn't necessarily expect to see the Occupy movement grow. I would expect to see a lot of smaller political movements, especially at the state level, grow and perhaps merge into something else. That's how the Tea Party started. It started as a group of small-scale local movements in 2008, 2009 that sort of morphed into a large-scale national movement. It's still not all that well organized. But honestly, I would expect to see things on the state level like we experienced in Wisconsin with the collective bargaining protests in February, the whole spring 2011. I would expect to see those small-scale movements within some of the states gradually becoming more of a national movement. And, you know, the thing about the Occupy movement is, at least as the media portrays it, it's still a movement of the young. You know, and there's nothing wrong with that. Don't get me wrong. But the political protests we saw in Wisconsin in 2011 and on into 2012 were all age groups across all economic classes. And I might expect to see something like that develop over time as income inequality grows.
So if you were an undecided voter and you were comparing which president is going to improve my health and happiness and well-being, what would you say?
I would say on those bullet points, it would be President Obama.
It's been a pleasure talking to you, Professor Blakeman.
Great. Thank you.
I'm Dr. Jayashree Chander, creator of Nanjing Now, a podcast about prioritizing well-being, on the web at neijingnow.org. Nanjing Now is independent and entirely listener-supported. If you enjoyed the clip, please share it with your friends. Like us on Facebook and donate generously. Your support is essential to keeping Nanjing Now alive.